I have tried to keep busy in the Gospel and would like again to record the faithfulness of God and the warm-hearted fellowship and kindness of His people. We have only good to speak of God and good to speak of His people. Soon after Easter last year, I commenced meetings in the little hall at Ballygiggan. Most of you know where that is. It lies between Cumber and Killilea. Little hall on the roadside. Doesn't look very good perhaps outside, but inside a very comfortable, nice building. The assembly there is quite small. But for a little while I had a measure of exercise about going in the Gospel, and I went. Stayed for 9 weeks. We got a fair number of the people of the district to come in. The Christians in the assembly helped to the best of their ability in getting their friends and neighbours interested, and quite a good number came. There was a sense of help and liberty in the preaching of the Gospel. And we're glad to know that as the result of the meetings, 5 professed to be saved. And later on in the season, I had the joy of baptizing 4 of these. A man and his wife, and this man's mother. The mother had attended the Gospel Hall for a lifetime, and had you asked the people in the district why she saved, they would all have said she was. But one day toward the end of the meeting, she sent for me, and I thought she wanted to talk to me about her son and his wife getting saved. But she didn't. She wanted to tell me that in the early hours of the morning, a day or two before that, she herself had got saved. I said, I thought you were saved. The others thought the same. Well, she said, never in my lifetime did I say to anybody I was saved. But she said, I brought up my family to go to the Sunday school, and I encouraged the friends and neighbors around me to go to the meetings, and I told them that they needed to be saved, that it was the right thing. But she said, I never in life professed to be saved. But she said, in these meetings, God spoke to me. And after my son and his wife got saved, she said, I felt I could go no further. And a few mornings ago, in the early hours of the morning, God saved me. We were happy to baptize her, as I've said. And she's in the little meeting at Ballygiggan. After the meetings in Ballygiggan, I went to Newcastle for the open-air meeting. And Newcastle has become more or less a kind of a parish of mine. Accompanied by Mr. Charles McEwen, we have been there for quite a number of years on and off. Mr. Jim Turner said last evening that as far as the city here was concerned, open air meetings had largely died out. Our brother and I feel it's a great mistake that open air meetings have died out. And we're very happy to try at the seaside to preach the Gospel in the open air. I think it's important for us to remember that the most of our Lord's preaching was in the open air, and a good deal of it by the seaside. The brethren in Newcastle get a permit from the council, and we are allocated a very suitable site, and for quite a number of years Gospel work has been carried on there. We generally have 3 meetings a day. Afternoon at 4 o'clock, the evening at 7, and 10 o'clock at night. We're thankful for all those who, when they come to the seaside, take an interest in the Gospel and stand in and help us. Very many Christians from the assemblies round about come along and help us in the singing, and brethren at times are exercised to preach, and for this we're thankful. Again, it was our privilege to have the use of the Palace Cinema for 4 Sunday evenings. We had a late meeting there, and we're thankful that between 400 and 500 people on these Sunday evenings come in to hear the Gospel preached in simplicity in the Palace Cinema. The owner of the cinema does not profess to be saved, but he grants us the cinema free of charge. And the reason is that his father, though not amongst the assemblies, was a professing Christian, and he said, I couldn't help but give the cinema for the preaching of the gospel, and I wouldn't be happy to take any money for it. A number of the brethren from up at Ballykeel told me that they saw coming into the cinema two or three farmers, one in particular, that lives quite near to the gospel hall there. And they've never known him at any time in life to be inside the door of the building. But when the gospel was preached a few miles away and in a public building, he seemed to feel happy to come. The Lord gave a little help, and one or two professed to be saved. And to me it has been encouraging in the past few years, after the open air meetings have been over, to meet some here and there in the various assemblies in the north of Ireland and one or two in Scotland who have been saved as the result of the open air meetings in Newcastle. We'll value the prayers of God's people, as in the will of God we have promised to return another season. After Newcastle, I went back to Ballygiggan for a week's meetings for Christian. And then soon after that, I went to Apsley Hall in the city here for gospel meetings. I'd never been to Apsley before, and I must confess, and I know the Apsley Street brethren will forgive me, I had a certain amount of misgivings in my mind about going to Apsley. You say, why? Well, I'll tell you. They're doctors and lawyers and businessmen there, and I had the idea, well, my kind of simple, pointed, sharp preaching mightn't altogether be to their liking. But you know, it doesn't do to pass judgment too quickly, and particularly when you don't know. Now, I acknowledge freely that I was mistaken in my impressions regarding Apsley Hall. When I went, the brethren stood by me loyally and well. These doctors and lawyers that I mentioned, they were my best supporters in the prayer meeting. Bowed night by night at the throne of grace, and we prayed together. We're very thankful that God gave entrance, and goodly numbers came in. The hall wasn't crowded by any means, but it was nicely filled up night by night, and a number professed to be saved. Some have since been baptized, and for this we're thankful. I finished in Apsley Street on Thursday night and was in Toronto in Canada for a meeting on the following Friday night. The Toronto assemblies for a good little while had been exercised about an effort in the gospel, what they speak of as a united effort. They had 13 assemblies there who united in taking a large hall, something like this, not just exactly as large as this, but a little bit more modern perhaps. And they had invited Mr. Sidney Maxwell from Vancouver, a former Newton Arts man, and myself to go along and preach the gospel. Now I want to say that as far as these meetings were concerned, it wasn't just a matter of arranging meetings. This was an effort that was born out of exercise, deep, real exercise before God. They couldn't get the people into the halls locally, and they felt that something would need to be done in an attempt to get the people of the city under the sound of the gospel. They prayed a lot about it. I want you to take note of this. There were nights in their prayer meetings some months before the meetings commenced when there were between 300 and 400 brethren and sisters together to pray. Brethren, is it any wonder that God gave help? Is it any wonder that God gave blessing? They were exercised to pray and to work. The meetings commenced in the hall, and one did wonder if we would get the local people. We felt perhaps the place will be filled with Christians and not many unsaved to come. But we're glad in that respect we were also wrong. Great joy to stand up night after night and look over that lovely building and see it crowded to capacity with people, and seat after seatfuls of women in their bare heads with earrings, lipstick, men without neckties. An indication, I believe, to us all that there were very many unsaved people in the building. There was a sense of help to preach. We had what we might call just straightforward, ordinary gospel meetings. Commenced each evening at 7:45. Sing a few hymns until 8:05. And then commence the meeting in the usual way, and both of us preach and close the meeting at 9:00. During the course of the meetings, 47 people that we know of profess to be saved. Now, I wouldn't be foolish enough to believe that all who profess to be saved at my meetings or at any other body's meetings would be saved. In the best of meetings, you would get some chat. We're happy to know that since the meetings, a number have come forward and told that they have been saved in the meeting. And as well as that, a number of others have been saved as the result of the meeting. All kinds of people came to the meetings. We had a Roman Catholic priest there 5 or 6 nights. I don't know why he came, but I know when he came he got the gospel anyhow. God only knows the result. A number of other Roman Catholic people came, and 4 that we know of professed to be saved. I had a letter from Mr. Sprunt of Toronto not very long ago, and he was telling me that that Roman Catholic couple who got saved have opened their house, and in the district in which they live they're having gospel meetings, and their Roman Catholic neighbours are coming in and the gospel is being made known. A number of strangers got saved in the meetings, those who had no connections with the Christians at all. Some of these have since been baptised and received into the various assemblies in the city. A number of those connected with the Christians were saved. Some young people, not many of them. A number of older people. One old woman particularly, whose daughter has been in Brock Avenue Assembly for something like 40 years. And one night during the course of the meeting, the old woman, 85 years of age, got saved. And there was great rejoicing in that hope. We were very thankful for the sense of the presence of God and help in the preaching of the gospel. And I believe it did confirm to me and to others what Mr. Knox has said, that as far as gospel meetings are concerned, if we have the presence of God and the power of God, we don't need anything else to bring or hold the people.
Amen.
God moved, and for this we're very thankful. I said a week or two in Canada and the United States, just after those meetings, went down into Philadelphia where I had been 8 years ago, had an interesting spell of gospel meetings there 8 years ago, and a number got saved. A great joy to me to go back this time and see them all, with the exception of one, happy, breaking bread with the people of God. It was my joy to preach the gospel at the closing conference meeting that night, and a young man of 17 years of age got saved. I had a letter from his mother and father the other day, and they tell me he's doing well and happy in the meeting. Mr. Knox was at that conference, but he went elsewhere that evening to preach the gospel. Immediately after Christmas, I went to Banbridge. Most, if not all of you, know that I was brought up in Banbridge. My father and mother went to live there when I was 1 year old. And I stayed there until 1941. I was saved in Banbridge. I was baptized in Banbridge and received into the assembly in Banbridge. I was married in Banbridge. And I have very strong links with Banbridge. But I confess that when I went for meetings, I went with a certain amount of fear. I couldn't help but think of Luke 4, where it says concerning the Lord that he went into the synagogue at Nazareth where he was brought up, and what seemed to impress me and make me almost tremble was this, that though the Lord went there and he was a good preacher and he had a good audience and a good subject and they paid good attention, the fact of the matter is there wasn't a stir in Nazareth at all. They cast him out of the city, and I thought, well, if I go to Banbridge, perhaps it'll just be the same. But I went. Christians made me very welcome, and it was nice to see my old Sunday school teachers night by night sitting right up around the front and listening sympathetically and praying earnestly for me that God would help. Right from the commencement there was a good interest. The people of the town and district responded and came in well. By the middle of the second week we had to put in extra seats, and right to the close of the 11th week We had these in, and the hall was filled to capacity night by night. Quite a number of those that I went to school with in earlier days came to the meeting. Some that I worked with came to the meeting. We took a temperance hall for two Sunday nights. And in that temperance hall we had good large numbers. And it was a joy to me to see people that I had known in earlier years who've never been in any way associated with gospel meetings or, to my knowledge, in the gospel hall. It was nice to see them sitting down in the middle of the building, listening attentively to the simple message of the gospel. A number professed to be saved. Quite a number who had been prayed for many years. One man particularly, whose wife's in the assembly. Indeed, I saw him here yesterday. He might be here today. He's a superintendent of the church Sunday school. He's the leader of the village band. And one morning, in the early hours of the morning, God saved him. A number of others were just the same. And I heard on Saturday evening when I was at the conference meeting here in the Kerr Memorial Hall about another young married woman who got saved the Thursday night after the meeting's closed. Now I would like to say how much I appreciated the wholehearted interest and prayers and fellowship of the assembly in Banbury. In all, I think perhaps 17 or 18 people professed to be saved. Now, God willing, on Lord's Day of next week, I commence in the gospel in the Ebenezer Hall in Old Park Road. Just one thing I would ask you Christians to do, and that is that you would continue to pray for me. We're very thankful for the prayers of the people of God. I met two elderly gentlemen in the city here not long ago. And strange thing, I met them in the one day, but they weren't together. Do you know what they told me? They said, there's not a morning in life that we don't pray for you. I wouldn't expect all you people just to put me on your prayer list and pray every morning for me. But I do hope that everyone in this meeting who professes to be saved, that they have preachers and missionaries and others, of course, as well, and that you have them on your prayer list and that day by day you pray for them. Because apart from the prayers and help of the people of God, how utterly helpless we His servants would be. And it will likely never be known until the judgment seat of Christ how much some of us owe to the prayers of simple brethren and sisters, some whose voices are never heard in public, but many a time their eyes are dim with tears. Out of the quiet of the presence of God, they make mention of the people of God.